A little bit of a different format tonight, because it's just, you have to. So there's a Rabbeinu Bachai. Let's just give, like, let's still do background. So you have Rashi is like really the first, Unklus is really the first parish that we have on Chumash. But Rashi, let's just say, is our, you know, go-to commentary. And that's, you know, you live in between 1,000 and 1,100. And then Ramban, in terms of, you know, when we think about Perushim on Chumash, comes with a different style, right? So Rashi is very much, like, focused on Pshat. In a certain sense, he has more of a laser focus on, like, the Pesukim at hand, whereas Ramban kind of pans out and looks at things a little more globally. Even though everything I'm saying is generalizations, but Rashi will look at the Pasuk by Pasuk. Yes, he will look at Smichas Parashios. He'll look at, like, why one Parashios is next to the other and derive things. But this, again, Rashi's looking at the Gemaras, the different Midrashim. He's pulling from different things. It's amazing. Like, if you look at Rashi's and then you'll go to, like, a Mizrahi or the Gorarie, and they kind of, and it's Sifsei Chachamim, they all, like, help you open up Rashi in terms of what's bothering Rashi. And then even, like, showing incredible depth of what Rashi is conveying and trying to explain Pshat and how we read the Chumash. But Ramban comes along, I left that Ibn Ezra. So Ibn Ezra is, you know, after Rashi, has a different style. And Ramban's coming after, and he is looking at Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and Rambam. Because Rambam in the Mora, the Mora Nevuchim, even though he didn't write a formal parish on Chumash, there's a lot of stuff in the Mora where the Rambam has different approaches to how to understand reading certain passages in Chumash. So you'll see it will be picked up in the parish of the Ramban. Nachmanides will pick up on Rambam's Perushim, even though we're not seeing it. What's interesting is, just as a total side, you have, like, when you go through the Maharal's writings, which he's in the 1500s, you clearly see in his writings that he was very familiar with the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim as well. And then he'll also, Maharal, even though, again, that's a Gorarie thing, but you see in his writings, like, he'll go after everybody. He doesn't care. And now he's coming after. But here we're talking Ramban. So Ramban is looking at things on a more of a global. And then one of his disciples, really not, is kind of an indirect, because there goes Ramban, Rashba, and then from there you have Rabbeinu Bachai. So Rabbeinu Bachai is coming really, like, further down, but you see, and also just as a side, I guess, the Ramban, Nachmanides, and the Rabbeinu Bachai are coming from a Kabbalistic school. Now, when we say that Kabbalistic school, it's like, people think that means, like, they're just, you know, eebie-jeebie stuff. It's not that at all. If you look at the Zohar, and the Zohar is going to read the Pesukim very closely and the nuance of wording, and then we'll, you know, have this, you know, approach where it's all textually based. It's not like you're not going to say anything unless it's in the text or some kind of, you know, nuance in the text. So even if you're going to say Kabbalistic, again, it's very much textually focused. Just, again, how do I approach? Do I look at things more of a, you know, Ramban, bigger, you know, type of global look at things? In a certain sense, like when you're doing, like, a Gemara, you'll see Tosis is also like it was Rashi's laser focused. Tosis will open up to, like, sugyas and shas. He's looking at, like, how does everything interrelate, you know, much more global in its approach. Now, when it comes to this, so just using this as a backdrop, when it comes to Kedoshim Tiyu, so Rashi's pshat in Kedoshim Tiyu is Prushim and Arayos, right? We have to separate from inappropriate sexual activities, and if you think about it, when you read the bigger picture here of Achremos Kedoshim, So Achremos ends with the Arayos, right? It talks about which are the permitted and which are not the, and which are the prohibited relations, right? And then obviously it isn't just staying to, like, you know, you can't marry your father's wife and, you know, things like that, or your sister, or your nieces and whatever, not nieces actually, but like whatever those different, you know, scenarios are. But it also talks about, like, you know, bestiality, homosexuality, like, has, like, you know, and then it gets into other stuff. But you see clearly that they're riotous, and then kedoshim to you. So Rashi understands that as that means, like, you got kedoshim to you is how you, how we conduct ourselves in the sexual realm, sexuality. And where you find separation from those things, you find holiness. Okay. Ramban says, no. Because if you think about it, I already know that. The Torah went through this stuff. So kedoshim to you is coming to be additive, not defining, but it's an additive thing. It's going to say, okay, I got all these things, but kedoshim to you is saying more, which is that you can have everything that's mutter and still be a novel versus a Torah, right? You're missing the spirit of things, in a sense, I would say it in English. And that is, you can't, like, be a glutton. You have to like act appropriately within there's a medium, like, it's like balance in life, right? So even though you can have everything kosher, you can have every, you know, you can have kosher wine, you can have kosher this, you can have kosher, you know, the person is quote unquote permitted to you, all those things, and you can still be doing it wrong. Kedoshim to you is a new level of now balance. Take all those things that, you know, kadesh b'mutterlach. Make sanctify with that which is permitted to you, which means all those things that are okay, you still have this, you know, level of where you have to, you know, basically sanctify yourselves and have me, you know, create balance within that realm. That's Kedusha. Okay, so you have Rashi, Ramban. Comes along Rabbeinu Bachai, and let's try to figure out Rabbeinu Bachai's intros, right? So he'll take a pasuk from Mishlei, from Shlomo Malach, and then he tries to unpack it, and basically the Chasam Sofer, I have here this is the version from the Oz V'Hadar, this beautiful Perush on Rabbeinu Bachai, which I'm laughing, I bought at like the equivalent of Costco here in Israel, in Osherad. I mean, how great is it? You go to your supermarket and you buy a nice set of chumashim. that's the beauty of Israel. Now, in here, and this is a famous thing, says the Chasam Sofer, he says, for 40 years, I worked every Shabbos on the Rabbeinu Bachai, the parish of Rabbeinu Bachai in the Torah. Every year, I see more and more things that I didn't see in the past. And it's clear to me that everything that the Rabbeinu Bachai did was written Beruach HaKodesh. Okay, that's the Chasam Sofer, right? So what ends up coming out is that, like, a lot of times you look at the Rabbeinu Bachai, he's doing an intro to something, and you're like, what is he talking about? Now here, this is not the case. This actually is not such, you know, this is within the realm of what we're you know, like, it's not a stretch. Like, we're not going to have to work hard and figure out, like, where do you get this from? This is very contextual. But in general, sometimes you'll have where he's talking about something, like, what is he talking about? And then if you work on it, you realize, like, wow, he's going to the depth, to the deepest part of what the Torah is telling us in that specific parasha. So now here, when it comes to this intro, so let's try to understand, like, again, we know that he's coming from the house, quote unquote, of Nachman, is a Ramban, you know, and so we're going to say, is he talking about this idea of Kadesh Mutterlach, like, make sanctify yourself with that which is mutter to you, or there's more going on. So he clearly is, like, giving us much more than the Ramban, and maybe he's going to layer in some Rashi here also. So let's see inside. So he starts with the pasuk Tavaniya Te'erav LaNafesh V'Tuavas K'silim Sur Mira. So this breaking of one's desire is actually, now it's interesting, Tava Niyah Te'erav LaNafesh. Now, when I read it the first time, I'm like, what are they talking about? It sounds like it's saying taiva is something that's sweet to the soul. But that's not what it's saying. What it really means is the breaking of taiva is actually that is sweet to the soul. The tovat kisilim sormera. And that the in contrast, the ksil, the idiot, who goes after his desires, that already is a toiva. Okay, so needed a little extra, like to add into, like, because it didn't. When I read the first, I'm like, how do you get this? But what he's saying is the first side is when you break your taivos, that is sweet to the soul. But the other way around is a disgusting thing when someone lets their taivos take control of them. Shlomo Amach Alav Hashalom Yasir Rakasav Azeh Ava Adam Shaloi Moshech Achar Hataivos Ela Sheyachniotam V'Sal Kame Me'Alav. So Shlomo Amach is warning here that a person should be careful that he shouldn't be pulled after his desires. Rather, he should be Machnia. He should actually control them or squash them and remove them from himself. Ki kol hamasalek otam mi'alav umiskaber alehen hinehu b'madregas malach. So if a person is able to remove his desires and be able to overcome them, lord over them in a sense, or like dominate them, or however you want, miskaber, be overcome them, he is on a level of an angel. But on the flip side is, if someone lets his taivas take control of him, he's on the side, he's on the level of an animal. So you get to the sixth day of creation, and you have there, prior to the creation of man, you have two groups. You have the Sichlium, the Artsium. You have, now in like literal translation would be the intellectual and the earthly, right? But what it really means is the spiritual. Sichlium is the spiritual. Himanivram hal yonim shehim sechel gamor nivdam min achomer. So in this, and if you think this, it goes back to this idea, like the intellect is really more of a idea of, it's more of a reference to the idea of the spiritual. So in the spiritual creations coming from the higher levels, from the upper worlds, that they're completely removed, they're completely separated from the physical. Whereas Artsiyim, Heim Ha'ilanos, V'Hasmachim, U'Shar Ba'alechaim, Sheheim Chomer Gamer, Ein Bahem Seicha. So the earthly, the trees and the vegetation, and all living things that are physical, but that have no seichel. Now again, no spiritual or no ability for discernment. Okay. Now ushnei chalakim elu yasu pulotehem shenitmanu alehem elu b'seichel elu b'teva. So each one of these groups will do based on its makeup, right? So that which is coming from the spiritual, from the intellectual, will go towards that, whereas the one that's physical will be going towards its nature, ve'elu b'teva. V'chol echad mehem mulchrach b'pulaso. There's no free will there. It's already locked in. Ze b'sichlo v'ze b'tivo. Ve'ein moneh le'echad mehem. There's nothing that gets in the way of them doing what they're programmed to do. V'lefichach chiva hachachma livro b'yom shishi nivra shlishi murkav mehem mishutaf mishnehem. So wisdom, it's interesting, right? So therefore, wisdom was obligated to create on the sixth day a third type of creation that is a combination of these two, right? So taking from the sichli and the artsy and bringing it together. So man is made up of what? Of these two polar opposites. One is the sichli, we'll call it the intellectual / spiritual, and then you have, which is complete, which is removed from the physical, and then you have the physical very earthly elements that are completely in the physical. And so you take these two things, and that is melded together, and you have man. Okay, now. V'haita pulato sichlit v'tivit lo hechrechit b'shnei chalakim ki im ritzonit. Now, so from that, the outgrowth of man is that he's right. He's not right. The pulaso sichlit v'tivit lo hechrechit b'shnei chalakim. He's not now going to be forced to go in either of these directions. Ki im ritzonit. He's got free will. He is completely free to choose which way he wants to go. He can choose. Am I going to go in the spiritual, intellectual route? Or am I going to go in the physical desire, you know, the taiva route? The im huzar is the yatsav nilcham metavos haheim hinei. If he chooses, if he's like Azaras, right? He's has alacrity, and he goes to fight, right? To his desires, all right. And he removes them. He removes himself from the physical realm. He becomes. He gets to the level of an angel. On the other hand, if he's pulled by his taivos, then guess what? His intellectual / spiritual side is removed, and then he goes and he falls under the control of his animalistic side. Adam harishon kulo gamar yafa umum. So Adam harishon, before he sinned, right? Right, so he was an angel of God. He's completely spiritual. He had no blemishes, let's say. And he was slated to live forever, like all the other, you know, lofty angels. And he was in the Garden of Eden, the choicest of places in the world. But then when he sinned, so then there's a drastic turn where he's pulled after his desires. His spiritual self was removed, and he became enclosed within the physical. And then he was kicked out of the garden. He's like, he's given to graze in the fields like all the other animals. Right? You're going to eat now from the vegetation. Right? So originally, he's eating from the fruits of the gan of the garden, which is like coming, it's like godly food, right? So he goes from that level, and it's possible also that, like in this case, I don't know if he says it here, the idea that one of the things that Adam, before the chet, he was eating bread, that loaves of bread would grow on trees, and the chita was the idea of, right, that we say that there are three potential things that he ate. That was the things he shouldn't have eaten. One of them is that he ate wheat. But okay, either way, that the sin was within wheat, fine, either way. But we see that originally he was on this very lofty level and purely, purely spiritual. The alkane, roi l'chol maskil l'shaber ta'avoso u'l'hachnia. So we see that really, anybody that thinks about it, right, that you should break your desires, your inclinations, and basically take control of them. And that v'shiyah shivron ha-taiva l'nefesh ha-sichle davar arev, and that breaking of that of the taivas, right, will for now make the soul, the nefesh ha-sichle, something that's sweet. V'alzeh, and this is what Shlomo was saying, v'alzeh amar Shlomo b'kan tava niya ta'ara l'nefesh. What does it mean? That tava will become sweet for the soul. Hatava hanishberet, when you break the taiva. davar matok ve'arev l'nefesh ha'maskil. That becomes sweet and arev, pleasant for, well, it's not really pleasant, but again, ve'arev l'nefesh ha'maskil, u'mila niya milasha niyesa v'nechlesi. Right, and then if you go back to the pasuk, right, it starts out that this idea, what does it mean, niya, tava, niya. So nihiyam ilashon nihiyesiv nechlesi, right? That it's breaking, right? And it's but it's in the active, right? So it's interesting. He says here in the footnote, this is similar to like what it says on Daniel. Shenishbra ruchu machmas hachizayon shara mashatidin umos olam masal sisrael, right? Daniel was broken. His spirit was broken when he saw that the vision of what the nations of the world are going to do to the Jewish people. So the idea of niya is the idea of breaking. So that when it says in Mishlei, tava niya teravna. So like the niya is the idea of breaking the taiva. Because again, like, how do they get to this thing of break? Like, when we read it, like, how do you get it? It doesn't read the way that we're explaining it. But if you understand, nihya is the idea of the breaking. So tavan, that is broken, is sweet to the soul. Okay? So that's the idea of nihya. So this idea of it being stated in this, I guess, in the active, right? So that breaking of it is the sweet, is what's sweet to the soul, to this lofty person. And so it makes sense that for the person who's a spiritual soul person, that he will want to remove from himself taiva, which is called bad. As we see, shenemer ki yetzer lev ra adam ra minu rav. So the idea that a person's yetzer lev is bad from when he's little, when he's young. Uksiv v'chol yetzer machshavos libo ra kol hayom. Mivnei shehameshaber tavosav. So one who breaks his taivos is what? He's a sar meira. He's staying away from that which is bad. Alkein amar v'toavas kisilim sar meira. The toeva for a kisil is the sar meira. Right? So the guy who's a kisil, for him, is the opposite. For him, the sar meira is a bad thing. Kimashahu arev in lanefesh hamaskil hu davar mitoav l'kisil l'pishahu hafachot. So what's good for the guy who's a spiritual guy, the idiot, the guy who's like a completely, you know, taiva guy, right? For him, staying away from taiva is the opposite. That's bad, right? So that's this idea that the toeva for ksil is the staying away from the bad. Okay? So again, we're trying to understand kedoshim to you, right? So far, what we've set up is that man was created with these two opposing forces. One is the spiritual side, which from that perspective, you want to take anything that has to do with the physical drives and you want to be able to control those things. Because by controlling it, you're allowing yourself to then connect to your lofty soul side. And so anything, so breaking of the taivos is something that's sweet to the lofty soul. But the flip side is that he also has this very much physical taiva side, and that side wants to, anything that just wants to be able to give in to the taivas. Okay, now siviyadua ki hanimshach achar taivos over ala Torah kula. We know that a person who's pulled, who runs after his taivos, basically is violating the Torah completely. Now, he explains that there are really four categories within this. Okay, so person who's going to be pulled after his taivos, he's over on the whole Torah, and there are four buckets, four classifications that he does here. One is in his thoughts, ha'echad b'machshavto, ha'sheni b'diburo, how he speaks. The third is what he eats, And the fourth is his physical body. So first is his machshava. Ki imashech ha'adam achar machshavto bihirurim rayim machshavos ra'os. So if a person is pulled after thoughts that are, you know, he's completely obsessed or taken in by thoughts of, like, bad thoughts. V'kfar gila l'nishlom ha'alav ha'ashalom v'limi das ha'am ki ha'adam hu nenash al-chit ha'machshava kilu chata b'fo'a. Shlomo says, he taught us that it's actually almost worse to have the thoughts of sin than sinning itself. Which we always brought up to say, I remember going to some kind of business event where a guy was like, yeah, it's okay to look. It's just as long as you don't, you know, act on it. Here he's saying, no, that's the opposite. It's actually worse to have the thoughts than the actual act, which is why. V'hu shamar lev sameach yitiv panim, ki simchas halev hi im b'mitzvah im ba'aver hinei hi nikeret b'gof. This idea, the simchas halev, the idea of the joy or the heart, whether it be within the positive sense or in the negative, with the mitzvah or avera, either way, what you're thinking is, you can see it reflected in the body. Lefish halev shoresh hagof, because the heart is the kind of the root, or it's the center, I'll call it here, of the body. V'lachut hashoresh mitgale banafim. The analogy to a tree, right? So what's going on at its core, right? And it's in the core of the tree is going to be expressed in its leaves, in its branches and leaves, right? So it's what's going on in the heart ultimately will be reflected or experienced within the body itself. And so therefore, what you're thinking is impacting your body. And to the point of where you have bad thoughts, it's having a negative effect on your body itself. It's pretty wild, right? So A, what we think is very, very, like he's saying here, how we think, super duper important. And extremely, extremely, has its impact on the physical being is major, which is very interesting, like, observation. Like, clearly, like, we understand today, like, stress has, just like using that as an analogy, like, it clearly has a major physical impact, right? So that idea of what's going on in one's mind, psychosomatic, that idea. Okay, so that's A. B. Second is the dibur, right? We say, "Bechid lashon hara rechilas nivlas hapeh," right? When we sing, when we say lashon hara, or we go and we talebear, or we use foul language, "Shahachilik hazeh mehadibur miguna umeshukatz va'asur midin hatara." This type of speech is disgusting, and it's completely asur from the Torah. "V'alzeh amar shlomo alav shalom upik silim yabia ivelet." So it's interesting. He says here, so when a person speaks badly, it's a very bad thing. But what's interesting is how he puts it here is that everywhere we go, Hashem is watching. Which today it's easy for us to comprehend. Like, we have cameras all over. People are like, we're being recorded, right? So today it's easy for us to at least get that. But, like, back then, the idea that Hashem is watching and seeing everything. But Klomer, Yashgiach b'dibor hazel hanisho. Hashem is watching and he's going to punish this type of speech. V'chin hitnabe Yishaya lav shalom b'tochachtav v'amar v'chol peh dover nevala v'lefi sheder habachurim b'zeh hamin mihadibor l'chachit chila kasav al-kev al-bachurav lo yismach Hashem. So that the younger people are going to be more involved in this type of speech. So that it says, therefore, Hashem is not going to be happy with the young guys, right? But the idea is that this idea of negative speech and using either, again, Lashon Hara or Rechilas, or even just, again, improper speech. So that is going to be something that very much Hashem is taking, is paying attention to, and it's not a good thing. So that's what we have so far. So we have thought, we have speech. Number three is machala, what we eat. So here it's like we talked a little bit, like what would he fall in with, you know, is he saying more like Rashi, more like Ramban? So like here it says here, right? It says when it comes to eating, right, person goes after his desires to eat things that are asur from the Torah or even things that are mutter. Shigamzeus from Midina Torah. Yeah, you're not allowed to go after your taivas for eating things that are mutter. Because that's already also, right? Now look what he says. Valze Amar David Allah Vashalom, Vitarascha Betoch Me'ai. Your Torah is within my gut. Shibich et Atzmo. David praised himself. Shalom Natan Betoch Me'ab Me'olam Velohaya Macholoki Im Alpia Torah. David Amelch praised himself that everything he ate was always based on Api Torah. Ve'ein. It goes without saying, he doesn't have to say that he was careful that he didn't eat things that are asur. No, he's referring to that which is mutter he was careful with. Ki tzadik ochel l'svo nafsha. A tzadik only eats what he needs. Ben amar hakasov, shomer piv l'shono shomer mitzaras nafsha. A person who watches his, with his mouth and his lashon, He's protecting his nefesh from bad things. Okay, so that's three. So we had thoughts, we had speech, we had what we eat, and number four is begufa. Shimashech achar tavoso beinyan harayas. Right, physical pleasure, which is sexual. Right, the shimashech achar tavoso beinyan harayas bein tzarich lomar b'mash asura torah b'menu. It goes without saying. The things that the Torah prescribed that was asur, no, ki gam hamutter v'motoros huchet, right? Even things that are mutter within that realm, you can find, right? So you're being pulled after your taivos in that realm. V'harei l'cha arba chalakim sha'adam mutba l'mashech achat taivos arba. And these are four things, these four categories are what man is being pulled at, right? You're pulled at our negative thoughts, our negative speech, our improper eating and our improper sexual activities. And what he said is not just in that which is usher, like the Torah says specifically, this is usher, but no, the things that are mutter, right? That again, eating when you don't need to eat, you know, or in the case of the sexual relations, or again, the thoughts and the speech, right? So all the latter two, he clearly is saying, you know, Kadesh b'mutter lach, right? Not like the Ramban, right? Although, and even in the fourth thing, you see that he's saying, yeah, it's Kadesh b'mutter lach. Okay, fine. So now, uminayin shehanim shach achar hatavos hu over ala Torah kula. So now, back to this thing. When you're being pulled by your taivos, that you're being over on the Torah, Hello, Melch Shlomo, Lev Shalom, Gila Lano, Ha'inyan Hazeh, Shamar, the Taiva, Yivakesh, Nifrad, Bechotushia, Yitgala. So, didn't Shlomo teach us that on this, the Tava, hold on here, okay, the Tava, Yivakesh, Nifrad. Okay, so what does this mean? Yomar kimi shero dev achar taivam vakesha, the one who runs after his desires and is seeking it, yim sa'atzmo nifrad, he'll find himself separated. Klomer yichidi shelo yishar lo reyav amit shakol borchem imenu umistalkin me'alav l'ro hanhagato. What he'll end up finding is that he's going to be friendless. Everybody's going to want to stay away from him. V'hine zeh boet megaleh panim b'tar. But he's clearly, like in a sense, kicking, and he's, you know, going negged. He's going against the Torah. Zeh b'chol toshia yitgala. And this is the idea that with all his playing, he's like out. So now mipnei zeh, and because of this, nitzdavinu b'torah shenefrosh me'hataivos. So that's what's. So he's saying that this is what's going on here, is that the Torah therefore commands us to separate from our tavos. V'insarach lomar b'davar ha'asur, ki gam b'mutar. Right? So like a Ramban here, is that he's saying not just on the things that are not allowed, but the things that are permitted. Meaning, you have something that's permitted, but when you're being pulled by your taiva towards that which is even permitted, that's a problem. V'chein am Rav Simon, zal kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. Right? There we go. V'chol ha'porish atzmo min ha'taivos nikra kadosh. So, whereas you have a Ramban saying kadesh b'mutar lach based on the Gemara Yevamos, or you have a Rashi that's saying wherever you have arayos, gidri arayos, is you find kedusha, comes the Rabbeinu B'chai, and he's telling us that it's this idea of our, the pull, the taiva pull. And if your taiva is pulling you, and it even could be within the realms of things that are quote-unquote mutter, right? I got glatt kosher. You know, in Israel, it's like Reuben or Machput, you know, like, you know, these, you got the most kosher meat possible. You know, it's glatt, and, you know, all the different hadurim. And you're being pulled by your taiva, that's a problem. And so, therefore, anyone who's purish from that, that's called a kadosh. She came matzina b'nasir shelo parash ela mihayayin bilvad v'nikra kadosh shenemar kadosh yiyya gadel pera sa'ar rosho. So we see that the idea of kedusha, like similar to, like we see by the nasir, he was parash from something which was mutter, but he's called a kadosh. Kadosh yiyya. V'chein Yisrael b'sinai nikru kedoshim kishe kiblu ha-torah. Kenyan shekasa v'atem tili mamlechas kanim v'gai kadosh. So therefore, this idea of kedusha is kedesha yifrishu ma'taivos and it's davo amidas hakedusha. The idea of kedusha is to not let your that taiva pull basically control you, but rather the idea of kedusha is to be in control of that. That's kedusha. That's the idea of, so the way he's developed it. So, like, you could take a kadesh b'mutterlach, but there's so much more going on here, right? He's opening it up for us, because what he's saying is that you want a practical application of kedusha. Let's burn it. Let's boil it down to like the most basic level. It's like here we are, a human being has this built in, especially after the chet of Adam, we have a strong pull of what we call taiva, and the way he explained it is, it operates in how we think. It operates on the plane of how we speak. It operates in the plane of how we eat. And it also operates in our sexuality. On all those levels, we have a pull. But the way that Hashem made man was that we have this holy soul that is above the physical. And it technically is above this taiva. And man was given the opportunity to be a being that can choose which direction I'm going to go in. Kedoshim Tiyu says you need to overcome that pull and then direct yourself towards the sichli, the neshama side of ourselves. Not easy, right? Especially like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, but that's what Kedusha is. So Kedusha, according to the Rabbeinu, the way the Rabbeinu B'chai has developed it for us, it's much more than, and this is like the idea that here he's coming later than Rashi. He's got Rashi, he's got Ramban, he's got all this stuff in front of him. Comes Rabbeinu B'chai and he's telling us, let me explain to you what Kedusha is. Kedusha is this bigger picture of this is what you are. You're made up of these two forces. You have this incredibly lofty soul, and you have this very base animalistic physical being that you're part of. And you have this taiva that's pulling you. And it doesn't just operate on the most basic level of food or sexuality, but it actually is operating on how you think and how you speak. You have a taiva to say bad things about other people. You have, you know, a taiva to think things that, you know, so like, it's much bigger than just on this plane of eating and drinking and sleeping, quote unquote sleeping, right? So it's like, it's a much bigger thing. It's how we think, it's how we speak. But And so, and what he's saying is, on that level of think of thought and speech, there's a taiva there also, that's pulling us in a certain direction. So it's not just on those latter two, but it's the first two that are as well have a taiva energy that's pulling. Comes and says, you know, kedoshim to you, is you need we need our job is to really overcome and be able to. Be in charge of that taiva, to be able to control that, and to have control. So, practically speaking, like when we talk about like how we think, and I think it goes that the whole lashon hara thing is very much you say what you think, right? You think, and then it's true though. When you say certain things, it will impact how you think, right? So you know, so like they go hand in hand. But what we're saying here is that you can find kedusha there. There is tremendous kedusha when you control the pull that is that's pulling you towards this more negative side. Let's call it the negative or the mundane. And so, kedushim to you is this much bigger type of thing than just make yourself holy on that which is mutter. That's valid. And Rashi's. You know, Gidrei Arayas, also Kedusha. But here we're talking about it. It's like he's expanded it to a plane of how we think, how we speak, and obviously now how we eat and how we conduct ourselves sexually. So it's like this bigger piece. So that's the Hakdama. It's fun, and I put here like you can then go from this into how he reads. Just how, because it's always interesting. These parashios have subjects, kedoshim to you, followed by kibravim or how we have to be, you know, respectful of our parents, right? And also shav. Like there's like this list of like things that starts like, and you start if you were to take a pen and pad and you just like write out each of these mitzvahs. And try to figure out how does this connect. Now, one of the things that people say is that this is the Aseres HaDibros expanded. So you have like Avodah Zarah, you have Kibud Avim, you have Shabbos, you have all these things that are being, you know, brought up. So, like in a certain sense, it's a taking of the Aseres HaDibros and an expansion of it, and thematically you could look at it that way. Here he does this. You know, he'll take this idea of what he's developed here with Kedusha and then show how it then leads into Kibud Avim or Yira here. It's Ishim of Tiro and then Shabbat. So like you have the English translation. It's available. You can look on Safari. Yeah, it's there. It's fun. It's, you know, you can look at it, but I just wanted to like bring out his Hakdama. And like it's something to like think about. Like he's like laying it out for us in this like construct. Here's what man is made of. Like you're right, yeah, physical, spiritual, yeah. But like this idea of what it means now, practically for us, what it means to be holy, right? Hashem saying kedoshim to you, you know, ki kadoshani. We want to be like God. We want to be holy, and we want to. And here it is. I want to take control of these forces that are pulling me towards the, I'll call it the negative. We sense what's negative, right? Torah defines for us what's negative. Negative thoughts, negative speech, negative, you know, improper eating, improper sexual activity. So all that stuff is there. And if we're able to, like, what our job is to work towards taking control and then choosing towards the path of that, of the positive, of towards the godly, towards the spiritual, towards the man, that like, what makes humanity elevated, right? So we live in a time where everything is negative, and base. We're so base, like it's like the malachim are sitting there, and Hashem said, "Should I do this thing? Should I make man?" And like, man, was that a like the malachim are sitting there, "Oh, what a bad idea! Look at this mess you got here," right? But the idea is that I think that here we are at the end of this like long road of galus, and we're going towards a place that we're on a messianic era. which is a process. So we're going towards something which, you know, I remember going back many, many years where Mayor Tversky, he used to say that, he talked about this idea of that kulak ashan tichle, that evil is going to disperse like a cloud to the point where it's going to go poof and it will be like as it never was. Like that's because evil and ra has no substance to it in its depth. So it's almost like the extreme evil will come out, and then humanity will look and say, like, that's complete garbage. Like that's like, you know, there's nothing there. And ka'ashan tichla, that's what it will like disperse like smoke. It'll be like gone. And so like we're going down that road. But like the idea for us, I was thinking, like, what do we do in this state of being when we're dealing with all these things? Like, we need to bring light into the world. We need to look at these things like a Rabbeinu Machai on Kedusha and take it, think about it. He's laying out for us a basic structure. And so now our job is, okay, with the structure, think about it. Think about how we think. Think about how we speak. Think about how we conduct ourselves with food and drink and things like that. And then with sexuality, all those things. And then say, man can elevate to be like an angel. All right? And the idea, the beauty of man is that we have choice. And when we choose to go in that direction, it's like superpower. It's super.
We're bigger than the angels. Yeah.
What?
Potentially, we're bigger than the
angels. Yeah, yeah, that's the point. Exactly.
They have no time as, but it seems like the... So is he sort of saying that that when you challenge your taivas and you sort of break their effect on you in your mind, in your thoughts, you're sort of unleashing, that's how you make, so to speak, Kedusha.
Yeah, you're becoming Kedush. Right.
That's right. So it's sort of like just visually you can picture like that you're sort of breaking it, and then what's released as a result is like is this Kedusha.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
As far as the food part, is he talking not kosher food or having too much food?
He's talking about the both. I mean, he goes without saying not kosher. He's saying even that which is kosher.
In other words,
one piece. Yeah.
But I'll say it like this. To say the way he's saying it is that when your taiva is controlling you, you're in trouble. What LMI, like what David HaMelech said, I never let that control the way I approach this. So we're all...
Eat to live, no, don't live to eat.
Correct. So I'm guilty, right? I'm guilty on all these things, right?
Well, on all of these things, the I don't know, the power of the Yetzer Hara is so much stronger.
Like So
sexuality or food, everything's all so much more available things. Now. Everything's so much more in your face. And
correct. So therefore, when we do overcome, it's even that much more powerful.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And one of the things I would say is that the more that you spend time thinking about it, like when they use words, like you have to think. So I've been translating sikhli as spiritual. But what sikhli means technically is intellectual. Now, when we use the word in English, intellectual, I think of a guy who's sitting there pondering, you know, the meaning of, you know, whatever, or he's trying to think, you know, whatever the connotations of intellectual, okay? But what the idea that we can take things and think them through and start to be able to have control over and dictate to the taiva. So the taiva is not dictating to us, but rather we dictate to the taiva, right? Because taiva, like it said, they wanted to take away Yetzirah, and then the world stopped operating. You can't take away Yetzirah. So that energy is necessary. So what it's saying is like the idea that Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin, that Hashem created the Yetzirah, and then he made the Torah, that which is the Tavlin, which is the spice. What does it mean, the spice? It gives it the. In our words, we would say the Torah is the thing that lets us take control of the taiva, and to then kind of guide it in the right direction, right? To harness it and to use it for good, right? So that's so sichli here is like using our power of our intellect, of our ability to think and to then ponder and then to like tap into Torah and use, you know, to like the more that we connect to these ideas and the more we study and then use that like muscle that we've created to now apply it in practical life towards these four things. You know, the idea, like I remember Przanski, I've heard it from him and other people say it, but the idea that small people talk about other people, big people talk, you know, think and talk about ideas, concepts, right? So like, you know, the bigger picture, not getting into like the, you know, being petty and, but they're thinking about big ideas. So like there's so much to think about that's of a positive nature that elevates us, you know, as human beings. So yeah, it's tricky, yeah, especially in today's day and age where we're so caught up in all the political stuff and all the news of the day. But to be able to then like take a Torah, learn the Parsha, and learn about different ideas of Hasidus and, you know, and all the different things that are available to us, and to spend time, that's what our focus is and we talk about. So that's the path towards Kedusha. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're going towards. And that's the Rabbeinu B'chai. It's a beautiful, like the more you like, it's like, oh, beautiful. It gives us tools.
Rabbi Baum, for 1 year, before the 8:30, before on Shabbos morning, before the 9 o'clock minyan. So he just teached new Parsha, and 1 year it was Rabbeinu B'chai. So he was a very poor man. He struggled. So it's interesting. So like there was, he was just, he would write about his struggles.
Uh-huh. Right. So that's, I mean, he has, there's a sefer, I don't know, I've looked at it in the past, I haven't done it in a while, Katakemach. That's something that, that also is like a very, like a beautiful sefer where he goes through different themes and talks about them, which I haven't looked at in literally years. I started like looking at this, you know, the intros, and they're beautiful. Like they're really like, they open up and, you know, gives us what to like talk about and think about. And gears us towards, you know, concepts in the Parsha, which are, you know, maybe we didn't think about before or whatever, or in a, lays it out in a way that's extremely, extremely.
Yeah, try to imagine what it was like for him. You know, what did it mean to him to resist? For look at food. If he were poor in like the, what was it, like the 1200s or something? What did it mean food that was mutter in the first place,
but again, you know, he understands. I mean, he's one thing about our tzaddikim, our chachamim, is that they had ability to understand life on a very deep level. So whether for him personally, obviously not right. Obviously, but we do see that everybody's impacted one way or the other by their life circumstances, and you can see it impacting.
Yeah, I think how... he was so poor, he joked about it.
Mm.
You know, like...
Right. Right. No, for sure.
No, but you're right. High level, but it was a high level, so...
Yeah. So, like, again, he's elevated above this, like, yeah. And again, this gives us what to work with. I think it's very... one of the things I did go... just as a side... I went out and I purchased this sefer for everybody. The Tali Chaim, nice. This Kitzer Hikitzer Veranda, and it's about like basically living in the times that we're in a path of where we came out of, and we still deal with issues of being in Galus, right in exile, and we're in this, you know, time of Geula. And the Bachaban lays out for us, like it's like a whole change, a shift in how we think and how we approach. So I bought a bunch of them, and I'll bring them when I come in. It's like a $3, $3.25. It's the best $3.25 that one can ever spend. And then God willing, I'm coming in end of May. And then the other thing that for next week, God willing, we're going to do is the, that's the nice idea, on Sfiras HaOmer from Rav Moshe Shapiro. Because what does it mean when we say we're counting the Omer? The Omer is a measurement. What do you mean you're counting a measurement? The Omer is a it's a measurement. The Omer. So you have a carbon Omer, but what do we? What does it mean that we're counting the Omer? So that's what we're going to, God willing,